welcome to Career Call. This is your show. If you're in the job market or if you're an HR person that has an HR question, this is the show for you. Career Call is brought to you by VetJobs, the largest military-related job board on the Internet. And for the fifth straight year in a row, VetJobs has been voted to the Weddell's User's Choice Award. Fascinating award because of the 50,000 career sites out there on the Internet, only 11 have received that award 5 years in a row. So that puts VetJobs right out there in the front, makes it one of the top 10 job boards on the Internet. So if you're looking for a job, go to VetJobs at www.vetjobs.com. And if you'd like to participate in today's show, give us a call at 404-943-1620, or if you're outside the Metro Atlanta area, call toll-free at 866-356-0789. And I'm your host, Ted DeWalt. And as we always like to start the shows, we talk a little bit about what's going on in the economy. And this week, it was a bouncy week, as have the last several weeks been. The Fed stepped up and put $30 billion in to help bail out Bear Stearns. Of course, there's a lot of people are saying, no, 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 that's not a bailout. Well, the way I look at it is even though J.P. Morgan got the $30 billion guarantee backed by the federal government to buy Bear Stearns, that's still a bailout in the way I look at things, because if, as the president of VetJobs, if I made a bad decision and VetJobs going under, nobody's going to come running up and say, oh, here, we'll bail you out. And I have this great problem with using tax dollars, although I can make the argument very well as to why the federal government did it. It kind of hurts the free market economy if you let a huge organization blow things and then bail them out. Of course, you know, at least we didn't go out and try to bail out Enron after Canalay stole several hundred million dollars and bankrupted 18,000 families. But it still comes back to the problem of greed. We've talked about this in the past. A lot of our people in the financial markets are consumed with unbelievable amounts of greed. You know, you take Ken Lay, he stole 400 some odd million dollars, bankrupted 18,000 families, put Enron in the tank. Same thing happened in WCI, WorldCom, GCI, a whole bunch of others. You just go down the list. But when I look at those companies that had that happen to them, one of the things that I find definitely missing in every case is that at the helm there was not someone who had been in the military, because a prior military person could not do what a Ken Lay did. You know, it's interesting that the Economist magazine did a survey of the top companies in the Fortune 500, and of those that were led by where the CEO or president was a prior military person, they outperform the market by as much as 20%. That's because they bring something called leadership. And leadership does not entail stealing, robbing, bankrupting people. And that is unfortunately not something that we are teaching in our business schools. A lot of these people that are involved in this went through the MBA programs at a time when it was taught, this is how you comply with the law, this is how you get around the law, you're only in trouble if you get caught. Harvard was very much hit for that in the 80s, and of course everyone that taught that don't teach there anymore, but there are a number of business schools who really pushed that in the late 80s, early 90s, even, you know, well, all through the 80s, and now we're reaping the dangers of those types of instructional programs. So when you look at a company, if you see it's led by someone who had an MBA, that's good, but see if that person also had a prior military, because that's outstanding. And that shows that the company really has something that most companies are missing, and that's called leadership. Now, the economy itself is still holding on pretty strong. Oil is rising. This will really upset a lot of our listeners. The price of oil per barrel is now at around $108 to $110 a barrel. Do you know how much it costs to lift a barrel of oil in Saudi Arabia? $3.50. The most expensive oil that's being lifted today is in the North Atlantic, and that's around $19 to $20 a barrel. Now, the shale oil that you get out of the plains of Montana and on the plains up in Canada, that can run $37 to $44 a barrel, but that's not lifting. We're just talking about, you know, taking up out of the ground, not refining it. Here's another thing that'll really get to you. If we could build two new refineries in the United States, the price of a gallon of gasoline would drop to $1. We've not built a new refinery since the 70s. The radical environmentalists have stopped our country every time. They won't let us drill oil off the North Slopes. They won't even let us open up new wells in California where we have a lot of wells. They want us make us totally dependent on external oil. So I have a problem with the environmentalists that push things like that. There is not a shortage of oil in the world. There's a shortage of refining capacity. And that's why the people in the Middle East are able to jack the price up to where it is. And that's why you're about to start paying $3.50 to $4 for a gallon of gasoline. So when you get ready to buy that next gallon tank of gas, stop and ask yourself, gee, if we just had one more refinery here in the United States, we could drop the price of this gasoline down to about $1.75. And if we could open up two refineries in the United States, it takes, by the way, about 2.5 years to build one of those things, we could get the price of gasoline down to 75 cents to a dollar. So remember that when you're talking to your elected officials and ask them, why in the hell are you not letting us build a new refinery in this country? Because I don't like paying $4 for a gallon of gasoline. Well, so much for the economy. When we come back from the break, we'll be introducing our guest today, a Kenneth Brown, a former Navy officer and a man who is quite the entrepreneur and is a profit evangelist. We will be back right after this break.
For the love of cooking, take your passion to an exciting career as a chef or pastry chef. At Le Cordon Bleu College of Culinary Arts Atlanta, our professional chef instructors can teach you the techniques and give you the training it takes to work in this vibrant industry. We can even help you find your first culinary job. Get started today. Just pick up the phone and call 1-888-795-CHEF for a free career guide. 1-888-795-CHEF. That's 1-888-795-2433.
This is Nick Snyder. I am the founder and chairman of the Nice Museum of Patriotism in Atlanta, Georgia. We are celebrating our fourth year of operation. We look forward to you being part of what the Nice Museum of Patriotism represents, and that's everything great about America. Stay tuned for our radio program on Sundays from 2 to 3, the Patriotic Hour, brought to you by the Nice Museum of Patriotism. Thank you.
Did the light turn green and you're still sitting there? It might be time to take your car to Mr. Transmission and let the experts with over 45 years of experience check your transmission. Mr. Transmission of Sandy Springs is conveniently located between Steak and Shake and Sandy Springs Car Wash at 6569 Roswell Road. Look for the yellow and black Mr. Transmission sign or call 404-843-3379.
This is Radio Sandy Springs at AM 1620.
And welcome back to Career Call. This is Ted DeWalt, your host. Today's show is brought to you by VetJobs. And if you'd like to participate in our conversation with Ken Brown, a profit evangelist and chief profitability officer for growth-oriented businesses, you can give us a call at 404-943-1620. If you're outside the metro area, call 866-356-0789. And welcome to the show, Ken.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you here. Now, what's really nice is that you had been in the military yourself for a little while. Where'd you grow up, Ken?
I grew up in Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit. Now, that's north of Richmond, right?
No, I believe so.
Yeah, that's...
It actually snows.
It actually snows. Yeah, I was going to say Detroit is noted for three wonderful things. Well, two wonderful, one not so wonderful. One is the not so wonderful unions. The two wonderful things are snow and lots of automobiles.
And Motown.
We can't forget Motown. That's where Motown got started.
Absolutely.
So where'd you go to high school there?
I went to high school in Mumford High School, and that's noted for, I guess, Eddie Murphy and his Beverly Hills Cops. He wears the Mumford t-shirt. So
oh, really?
Yes, absolutely. I said, what is he doing wearing a Mumford t-shirt? I said,
that was so Eddie Murphy went to your high school.
Actually, he did not, but I believe one of the producers gave him the shirt to promote my old high school.
Well, that's cool.
Yes.
The so when you graduated from high school, did you go straight into the military? Did you go to college? What did you decide to do?
What happened was I got involved in Army ROTC, Junior ROTC program in high school.
And couldn't get in the Navy, huh?
Well, no. They didn't have a Navy program.
Okay.
Those are probably few and far between, but Jim was not available, so I said, "Yeah, I'll take the Army ROTC. This could be interesting." Really excelled in that program, and I got promoted. I believe I got promoted to maybe sergeant at the end of the year, or maybe mm-hmm. sergeant first class.
Right.
And then, as a 10th grader, I enrolled and was taking my ROTC course, and realized that there was nobody that could teach the class, and so I said, "I'll teach the class."
Cool.
And so I was marching people around, instructing them, and I only had 1 year of experience. And that was my first, probably, leadership opportunity. And then I got promoted to second lieutenant after that.
Wow. So when you graduate, what did you decide to do when you got out of high school?
Well, what happened? My father gave me two choices. He said, definitely you're leaving the house.
We've all been there.
Yes. He said, I don't know what you want to. I'm going to give you two choices. One is you can go to college. Two is you might want to join the armed forces. And I looked at him like he was crazy. I'm like, the Vietnam War was unofficially over. But I looked at him, I said, I'm not sure. Even he said, well, you look like you excelled in ROTC in high school, and this would give you an opportunity to get the GI Bill. He says you can learn a trade, you can make money. But the one thing that stood out was you can get out the house. And I said, yes. Yes. So he was right. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And if you're going to go to college and university, you really need to understand what you want to do. Focus. You talk about focusing. So I said, no, I think I'll do that. So I enrolled. I had a couple choices, Army and Navy. My uncle was in the Navy. And I thought there might be a better opportunity in the Navy. So that's what I did. I joined the Navy, and I don't know how much time we have, but to make a long story short.
Keep going.
Make a long story short, what happened was I always wanted to be an officer. My mother said, if you're going to do something, do it right. And my goal was to join the Naval Academy.
Oh, okay.
So I went through boot camp and finished boot camp, went straight, didn't go to an A school. Went straight into on board the ship. It was 1974 Thanksgiving, so I was really motivated to come on board the ship. We just went past Thanksgiving.
What ship did you get assigned to?
The USS USS Hector. It was a repair ship, and so after my Thanksgiving dinner on board my ship, I went past the career counselor's office. And there was a program called BOOST, Broaden Opportunity for Officers Selection and Training. It seemed like I fit the program, and so the next day I inquired about it. And they said, well, we need this, 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 and this. Hey, I got all that stuff because I'm trying to get to the Naval Academy. And so I applied, and that was November of 74. I was off the ship by March 15th and in San Diego in BOOST in April 1st of 75.
So you went to BOOST, and that got you ready to go to college.
Yeah, the story continues because 120 people started in that program, and about 120 people that started the program, guess how many people finished the program?
Oh, they generally have about 50% attrition, right?
About 22 people graduated. Of the 22 people that graduated, 12 people got programs. I was fortunate. I did work hard. That I got one of those scholarships and went to the University of Michigan. So that's how I got to Michigan.
So you were on a Rossi scholarship at Michigan then?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, sometimes I think, particularly in today's world, going to a university, and I'm a big academy supporter, but sometimes going to a university is better than going to an academy because you have a much broader understanding of your society than you do at the academy. What was your experience going to Rossi? Because University of Michigan is a top school.
Oh, yeah. The reason why I had an opportunity to go to Naval Academy via Naval Academy prep school. But I said, hey, Boost Opportunity gave me, I got, I think, 18 college credits. And then from the 18 college credits, I start taking night classes and summer classes before I enrolled in Michigan. I had over 40 college credits. And so I said, I have an opportunity to graduate ahead of my class, my peers, and put the bars on in 3 years versus 4 years. And Ooh. That's the reason why I went to University of Michigan.
Makes sense. Now, what'd you major in at University of Michigan?
Industrial and labor relations.
Now, what made you pick that?
Well, my father worked for Ford Motor Company, and I was always curious, as sons always are, about their dads. I said, Dad, what do you do? He says, I hire and fire. I said, yeah, that's what I want to do. So, and my grandfather was international rep for the UAW, so that was interesting. But I like people. I like working with people. So I said I want to do that, and then maybe eventually get a master's degree in business administration.
So the you went to school, you got your degree, and then I take it you went back in.
Put Hayes Grand away. That's right.
When you were commissioned, what were you assigned to? What ships?
The USS Carpenter was a Fran II destroyer.
Yep. DDE.
Yes, the USS Haleakala. I was a stream officer on board that ship.
A what officer?
A stream officer.
Okay.
Now, a stream officer.
We got a lot of Army people listening to this, okay, so you got to explain them what a stream officer is.
Well, the Haleakala was an ammunition ship. And what we did is we provide ammunition, supplies, oil, water, food to the ships out at sea. My responsibility, my division's responsibility was to maintain the cargo winches, the forklifts, the elevators, anything that had to do with replenishment. That was the responsibility of my division. So we had machinist mates, electrician's mates, and bosun's mates, which is pretty unique for an operation like that, and I had mostly junior enlisted people.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here because we have employers and companies who like to help sponsor this show, so we've got to put them on. This is Ted DeWalt, your host, and we will be back right after this break.
Do you love to cook? Or is your passion in baking and patisserie arts? Have you ever dreamed of a career in the culinary arts? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Le Cordon Bleu College of Culinary Arts Atlanta can help provide you with the training you'll need to pursue a career in this exciting industry. Call 1-888-795-CHEF, 1-888-795-2433 for your free career guide and to learn more about a career as a chef, pastry chef, restaurant manager, and more. At Le Cordon Bleu College of Culinary Arts Atlanta, you'll work alongside professional chef instructors, learning skills and techniques, get hands-on training in industry-current classrooms and kitchens, and even get help finding your first culinary job. Your training could open doors to opportunities working in restaurants, bakeries, hotels, resorts, cruise ships, and more. Start doing what you love for a living today. Call 1-888-795-CHEF right now to get your free career guide. That's 1-888-795-CHEF. 1-888-795-2433. Call now.
Are you into classic cars? Do you own a classic car? If so, you need to know J.C. Taylor Insurance, the absolute best place in the country for classic car insurance. They own classic cars, they support the industry, and have the best prices bar none. Go to jctaylor.com, get a quote, and tell them you heard about them on Radio Sandy Springs.
Why go diving with Sea Sports? Because Sea Sports is a PADI 5-star instructor development center, which means you are in the best of hands for all your scuba diving adventures. Sea Sports offers a complete range of scuba diving instruction, equipment sales and repair, and dive travel to fabulous destinations. If you are 10 or older, you can safely and comfortably learn to enjoy the world underwater. Sea Sports in Roswell for over 18 years. Visit their beautiful store on Alpharetta Highway or on the web at seasports.com.
You're listening to Radio Sandy Springs at AM 1620 and on the web at www.radiosandysprings.com.
And for a bunch of Army people, yeah, I'm sure you remember what that bugle sound was. And here we are talking with Ken Brown. He had gone into the boost program in the Navy, and then got a ROTC scholarship, University of Michigan, graduated, got himself assigned to the Hector and then to the Holly, which was a big old AOR. I remember pulling up alongside of those when I was a destroyer sailor.
Big ships.
Big ships. And it's always a lot of fun to watch those helicopters going back and forth, delivering supplies. But at some point, you decided, gee, it's fun being in the Navy, but you left the service. What was it that made you decide, gee, I think I'm going to go back to being a civilian?
Well, I got married, and
that'll do it.
Yeah, that always does it sometimes, doesn't it? But I missed the birth of my second daughter, and something else that happened was that the people ahead of me didn't seem like they were having much of a good time. And I just start saying, okay, there's got to be a better way here. Maybe I really wanted to become a captain, but I start looking at it, and you read the business magazines. I say, I'm just as good as those guys, and I want to go out there. And I was, at that time, I start thinking, you know, in the Navy, it's haze gray in a way. They changed our duty assignments, and so we're always out at sea. And it was a time I think you could do maybe 2 years shore. I'm sorry, 2 years or 3 years, and then maybe 2 years shore duty, and then you go back out. But it seems like we're doing
well. That's what they said you could do. It just never came out that way. I was in that program, and all of our 6 month cruises were generally 10 to 11 months.
Right, absolutely.
And you'd be back in port for 1 month. And right, in fact, my wife came down and met the ship in South America, and took something back for our XO. And when she went by the XO's house, his wife and little boy at the door, and she said, hi, I saw your daddy this weekend. The wife said, don't bother telling him that. He's 4 years old and hasn't seen his dad 2 months yet.
Wow.
And that hit my wife like a brick. So like you, I too said, gee, you know, I like my family.
Yeah, family's very important. I start thinking about long term. I wanted my daughters to know that they can build a business like I wanted to at that point. And it was real critical. I should start thinking, so I want to try this business stuff out.
So you got out, and what did you do when you got out?
Well, I had two options at that point. GM, General Motors, had offered me a position, but my hero was Ross Perot. I read his book on Wings of Eagles, and I really enjoyed it. Enjoyed the book, and I said, I want to work for that guy. So if I want to start a business, I want to learn from the best. And so I became a systems analyst for EDS.
And you went into being a systems analyst. Now, with your background, you were in labor relations, what have you. What made you think you could qualify to be a systems analyst? You weren't a programmer.
No, I wasn't. Hey, I'm pretty good in books. I know how to focus and learn stuff. And I just said, I this is what I want to be. I think technology was the way to go. And so I said, I want to learn this technology stuff and move forward.
Okay, so you went with EDS. And then you became a financial you went to the financial services industry as a personal financial planner. What made you want to go from being a systems analyst? I mean, this is a real career change. So what went through your mind to make you do this?
The Navy created I'm very good at what I do. When I'm focused. What happened is when I was in the service, I took the CFP course and passed all the exams except for one. That was estate planning. And I said, I really like this financial planning stuff. I was like, so I had two passions. One was, or interest was technology, but my passion was really financial services. So I said, let me try the technology stuff. But it just kept gnawing at me. I was trying to combine both, and I guess now you can. But I said, let me see if this will work. And I said, if I don't do it now, I may never do it. I can always go back to technology, but let me try this certified financial planners, because most people, they say they know a lot about money. And it's just their opinion, but I really wanted to make a go out of it, and that was a life changer for me.
Well, now when you made the jump to the civilian world, you'd already done some studying CFP. Did you decide to stay with the reserves, or did you just go straight out?
That's a very good question. I thought about it. I had been in the service since I was 17. My father had to sign for me, and I made a tough choice. I said, I don't want to have anything happen that would deter me from building a civilian career, so I just let it go.
So you didn't want to be recalled?
No, looking back on it, this interview may not have happened because I could have been over in Iraq or Afghanistan or someplace.
That's right. Okay, so you went out, you were with, I remember, IDS American Express, and then you joined Summit Financial Services.
That was my company.
That was your company.
Yeah, that's what I learned. See, my first sales position was really being a paper boy in Detroit. And that's a story in itself. I would love to talk about that. Can I? Because yeah. That's very important. That's my first sales position.
You know, and plus, you know, most people, when they think of certified financial planners or going into finance or being a stockbroker, when I got my MBA, I remember these people say, oh, I'm going to go be a stockbroker. I said, oh, you're going into sales. And they say, no, I'm going to be a broker. I said, no, you're going into sales.
Yeah, it was so funny. The guy said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a financial planner, and what I do is I help create the investment portfolios and help people achieve their goals like education and cash reserve and make sure they take care of the family. He says, wrong, you're in sales. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. So that was my second sales position. My first sales position was being a paperboy in Detroit. And my mother, after living in the Jeffries Projects, we bought a house, or she bought a house. I just watched her buy the house. But she bought a house, but she fell down the steps. She couldn't work. And we ran out of money. We had crackers and water, and the crackers ran out. And for 2 days, I didn't eat. My mother didn't eat. I guess she was fine with it. I had a few problems not eating. I don't know about you. So I was outside in my house trying to figure out, okay, day three, what am I going to do? And a couple of my friends invited me over for pancakes and sausage. I love pancakes and sausage. So they invited me over. I ate. Two of the boys had paper routes, and one of them, Tony, said, why don't you help me? I'll pay you some money. Great. And so what I did is I helped him. He paid me some money. And I went home. I said, Mom, what do you want from the store? She said, where'd you get the money? I said, help Tony on his paper route. And he said, oh, okay, well, I want this, that, and the other. And for the first time, I became a provider. I was a producer. And I learned, that's when I learned sales.
And sales is what makes the world go round, and you definitely have to be able to communicate, and we definitely have to take a break so our advertisers can get their word out on Radio Sandy Springs. This is Ted Daywalt, your host for Career Call. We'll be back right after this break.
www.kidemergencies.com is a user-friendly free resource on children's health emergencies and poisonings for everyday mothers and fathers. The site was created by Dr. Marty Belson, one of the Pediatric Emergency Medicine Associate Physicians at Children's Healthcare of Atlanta at Scottish Rite. The website is one of five websites which has received the iParenting Media Award for the greatest products of 2007. The information on the website focuses on childhood emergencies such as infectious diseases, injuries, and poisonings. The recognition and prevention of childhood injuries and illnesses is the ultimate goal of the website. Also available for parents are updates on children's health news on the website and via a free monthly e-newsletter, an emergency checklist for the fridge, and the option of submitting questions. For more information, visit www.kidemergencies.com and be sure to listen to the Pediatric Hour Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on Radio Sandy Springs.
Imagine yourself driving onto your property. Is the view of your home inviting you to come home and find a place to relax? Does a landscape design reflect your personality and the personality of your family? For beauty all year long, contact Solterra Landscape for all your lawn and landscaping needs. Whether you're looking for design that will set your home and property apart, or lawn care that tells the world that you have discriminating taste, contact Dixie at SolterraLandscape.com.
Buying a house is probably the single most important investment you make. And when it comes time to sell that property, you want to be sure to secure the most equity in the shortest amount of time. Certified staging professionals are changing the way real estate is being sold. Our three-step staging process is an important marketing tool for property owners and real estate professionals alike. A recent survey found that 63% of buyers would pay more money for a house that was move-in ready. So a qualified, objective opinion from a certified staging professional consultant is more than worth the investment. When you're ready to sell, call 1-888-STAGING or visit on the web at www.findyourstager.com.
Just a reminder, please visit Ruth's Chris Steakhouse link on our website for menu items, dining times, and even dinner reservations. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse on the web at RadioSandySprings.com.
Thank you for listening. This is Radio Sandy Springs, RadioSandySprings.com, and Radio Sandy Springs 1620 on the AM dial.
Thank you. And welcome back to Career Call. This is Ted DeWalt, your host, and we have with us as our guest today, Ken Brown, a fascinating individual. He came out of the projects in Detroit, which is a pretty rough territory to start with.
It's definitely rough.
Picked himself up, got himself into the military at the age of 17, went through Navy Boost, got himself into a ROTC program at University of Michigan, became a commissioned officer, got married, and like so many of us that were in the Navy, decided, well, you got a choice, either your family or the Navy. And he picked his family and got out, and it's been a financial planner now. What all is involved in being a certified financial planner? A
certified financial planner helps people achieve their financial goals before, and then they got to sell the idea and the plan. But a financial planner helps with creating your cash reserve, needs to make sure that you have protection needs in terms of life insurance, disability, and auto insurance, home. And then make sure that you have a balance of fixed and equity assets. And fixed assets would be bonds, and equity assets would be mutual funds, stocks, et cetera. And
then where's the house fit in all that?
Where's the house fit in? And that's an equity investment. But really, your house is your house first and foremost first.
Right.
Yeah. But that what we do is, or what a certified financial planner does, is define the goals and coach you through getting to achieving your goals, long-term goals.
Now, I know there's two different types out there. One charges a flat fee, and the other likes to get a percent of whatever they make off your money.
Okay, we're talking money managers. So there's different types of people in financial planning. There's some people that make their money from selling the products, you know, life insurance, disability insurance, and mutual funds, stocks, annuities. So they may not charge a fee to do a financial plan, if they do a financial plan at all. And then there's some that charge to do is a fee-based planner, so they make their money from doing financial plans. And then you have some that manage people's money, they get they charge a certain percentage of that. And then you have a combination sometimes of fee and commission planners.
Now, does someone have to have a certain net worth before you can work with a financial planner, or does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. I think sometimes the less money you have, the more you need to plan.
Very true.
Yeah, but no, you don't. You have to really focus and educate yourself. And a planner helps you educate in terms of where you're at and where you want to go.
Now, if I was someone who was looking for a financial planner, I happen to have one, but I mean, if I was looking for one, what should I be looking at when I'm interviewing this person, and why would one person be a better person for me than another financial planner?
Most people will ask around and get referrals from people in their neighborhood or their friends or relatives. And the other two is, I always look at what amount of experience do you have, who are your clients, give me some examples of some of the financial plans you've done. Mm-hmm. And see if you've built a comfort level with them. Do they speak your language? Do they talk over you, or do they talk with you? Do they really want to work with you?
Of course, now, being a financial planner, you really are in sales. And then one thing that keeps most people from going to sales is that fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. It's rejection of trying to find those customers. How do you find your customers as a financial planner?
Referrals, referrals, referrals. That's what you do. Referrals, referrals, referrals.
How do you get your
And you
referrals?
Have to be good at what you do. I think what separates a good financial planner from a mediocre is that truly you believe in planning first, and that means that the plan is the most important thing, your clients are the most important thing, not you getting a commission. And so the key point there is that you focus on them and not yourself.
Well, now, you just gave a definition of customer service. If you're focusing on what the customer needs, not just
Absolutely.
Your commission, that makes a difference.
Right. And some people would say to me, Ken, how do you sleep at night? You help people manage their money. This is back in the 80s and the 90s. And I said, no, I know I did the best job. I did the right thing. Didn't pay me enough to put them all in cash, but it was the right thing to do. And I'm always going to do the right thing.
Well, now, being a financial planner, I would imagine you follow the economy pretty closely. Are we going to a recession? Are we going? I heard one of the presidential candidates saying, we're in a depression. Is that true?
We'll wait for the numbers. However, sometimes by the time we get the numbers, we may have been in a depression. But I think it's more
a depression?
Media focus. I said a recession.
I
misspoke. I have to be careful. Yeah. President can't misspeak. I guess I could misspeak, but the president can't really misspeak. But I think the key key point there is that I think it's two quarters, and you have GNP goes down.
Correct.
I can't remember what the number is. I think it's political. I think it's media-driven. And, yeah, I think financial markets are taking a strong hit. But if we're as entrepreneurs that we are, and you've got to focus on building your business and be smart about it, and don't worry about what's happening right now. You have to build your business and be smart about building
Ken,
your business.
Ken, I'm shocked. You say that the supposed recession might be politically driven? Tell me this isn't true.
You know, I just, yeah, I mean, it's happening, but there's it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to do whatever I can do to be smart about my business and continue to grow my business.
David, I think he's been listening to some of our previous career calls, because I have for a long time advocated that, you know, with the exception of the real estate market and certain areas within the finance community, the rest of the economy is very, very fundamentally very sound. And, in fact, I don't even think the subprime would have been as much as it was if Countrywide and BOA weren't trying to get the government to bail them out. And with everything else being, because of vet jobs, we see, you know, we've got record numbers of jobs up on the site. All we hear from people is they can't find the people they need, and we see no drifting off of demand for new employees. The time to hire has gone from about 30 to about 40 days, but that's nothing to jump up and down about. I just don't see us in a recession.
Yeah, I can't say. And even if we are, which I'm not sure about because I'm not an economist, I've got to build my business. I can't say, woe is me, we're in a recession. I can't, okay, so if we are, great. What are you going to do about it? That's the key. What are you going to do to build your business?
I've been in sales for about 20-some-odd years, and one thing I've found going through two recessions is no matter what happens in the economy, a real salesperson doesn't care, because a professional salesperson can always make a good living whether there's a recession or not.
Absolutely.
Well, we have to professionally make sure that our customers, our advertisers, get their ads on. So we're going to have to take another quick break. This is Ted Daywalt, your host. We have with us as our guest Ken Brown, who is the Chief Profit Evangelist and Chief Profitability Officer for a Growth Arena Business. We'll be back with Ken right after this break.
CarTunes is your gateway to premium car audio. CarTunes professional salesmen can assist with whatever you're looking for, whether it's a new radio, speakers, satellite radio, improved iPod compatibility, or any other audio device your car needs. Want a better Bluetooth car kit? Come to CarTunes. How about a full-blown deluxe sound system? CarTunes can satisfy your mobile audio needs. Located just north of I-25, next door to the American Pie. Come see us in Sandy Springs or visit CarTunesAtlanta.com.
Resource Planning Group is Sandy Springs' number one fee-only family wealth advisors. They help folks like you practice and maintain spending and investing habits that are wealth-enhancing. If you're about to retire and want security for years to come, call John Howard at Resource Planning Group right here in Sandy Springs, 770-671-9500. Resource Planning Group, securing your retirement future.
Why take a chance by doing it yourself when there's a family-owned and operated business that can do it for you? Grassroots takes care of your yard's nutrient needs year-round. I've known Josh and the family for years, and they take care of my yard just like it was their own. There's nothing better than having neighbors compliment your yard, and that's what they do because I use Grassroots. Call them for a free estimate. Grassroots. Easy name to remember. Grassroots. And tell them you heard about them on Radio Sandy Springs.
This is Derek Lehman with Tikvat David Messianic Synagogue in Roswell. The familiar words of the 23rd Psalm are often a comfort to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. To some people, this statement might seem naive or overly optimistic. After all, life isn't always green grass and abundant water. Yet the psalm is perfectly realistic if you read the whole thing. Psalm 23 goes on to speak about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I think that's something we can all relate to. What valleys have you been through recently? When is the last time you were at your church or synagogue to pray to the shepherd? God's goodness is there, even in the valley. This is Derek Lehman. See more about us at hopeofdavid.com.
This is AM 1620, Radio Sandy Springs. Listen to us worldwide at www.radiosandysprings.com.
And welcome back to Career Call. It's Ted DeWalt, your host. Today's show is brought to you by VetJobs, the largest military-related job board on the Internet. Surprisingly, anybody can go to VetJobs and apply to a job, and they have 31,000 jobs up on the site today. So if you're looking for a job, you need to visit www.vetjobs.com. That's vetjobs.com. And we have with us today as our guest Ken Brown. He is the chief evangelist, you are a profit evangelist and the chief profitability officer. Now, explain to me how you came up with the profit evangelist.
Well, I think it gets back to that my paper route, is that the reason why I was able to get a paper route and build that paper route up was that there was a business in my neighborhood that gave me that opportunity. And in these times, if we don't have businesses in our communities that can provide jobs and internships for and opportunities for our young people. So where do we learn our skills to become future entrepreneurs and business owners? So I think to answer your question is, I look back on that, and that's where my passion, that's the name of my company, it's E3C. It stands for Entrepreneurship, Empowerment, and Evolution. And the C stands for Connect, Collaborate, and Create. But if you want to be profitable in your business, if you want to be successful, you must be profitable. In order to do that, there's formulas and success formula. There's principles. There's ideas that you need to do to be profitable. So I said, you know what? This is all about profitability. It's being profitable. So I want to be a profit evangelist. And I always ask people, stay profitable. And in order to do that, you've got to be, number one is you got to have enough leads. You got to convert those leads. You've got to sell. You know, you've got to take that revenue that you get from the sales, and then you've got to spend some of it, but don't spend too much of it. You got to control your costs and reduce your expenses whenever possible. And that's what's going to make you profitable.
Now, it's interesting. I like that what you said about reduce expenses whenever profitable. Back in the 80s and early 90s, sir, the big thing was business profit, you know, BPR, you know, business profit, business, whatever it is, reengineering. They started looking at the human factor in companies as just being more widgets. And I like to use the example of Delta, where they before they got into BPR with Anderson, the entire company, all the employees banded together and bought the company a plane. After BPR, business process reengineering, the employees will stand on the tarmac there and watch a plane bump into another one, have a quarter-million accident, and laugh about it. Where does that human factor fit into the profitability of a company? And is it true that the most important asset a company has are its employees?
That's true. I say if you don't treat your employees as assets, they become a liability.
Very good.
Yes. Your greatest asset are your people. Because if you can't run your company unless you have good people, because you can't do everything. And so what you have to do is create systems and make sure that the people that you employ are going to help you build that company. And when you're asking the question, when you're hiring people, you got to ask them, are they the right fit? Do they fit the culture? Do they have the aptitude for it? And have you communicated your policies and procedures to see whether or not they're going to be a good fit and take your company to the next level?
Very good. So you would not have been a big promoter of business process reengineering then, huh?
No. Anytime you can be better at what you do. Here's something else about, we all focus a lot of times on building and improving our weaknesses. I think we should acknowledge the talents that we have and move towards working on your talents and abilities, not necessarily getting better at your weaknesses. So we have to acknowledge what we're really good at. See, I'm good at being a visionary. I'm good at learning new things. I'm good at establishing good relationships. And if I said, what can I do with that? And I'm good at maximizing people's potential and organization potential. So if those are my talents, that's what I should be doing. I shouldn't be worried about, you know, the minute detail stuff. I should look at the big picture stuff.
And that's why you have chief operating officers and VPs of divisions.
The reason why I said the chief profitability officer is that who is managing the profitability? You might think it's the owner, but there's certain principles and procedures and ideas that you need to install to ensure that you're going to be profitable. You know, there's a system to being profitable.
Well, if I was a young entrepreneur starting out today, because you work with entrepreneurs, what would be the three or four most important things you'd be telling this entrepreneur you need to do to make that company work?
I think one is, first and foremost, you got to watch your expenses. You got to seek to reduce your expenses whenever possible. You have to control your cost, because that has an impact on your profit margin. Most people don't know what a profit margin is, but you add up all your gross sales, add up all your total expenses, subtract your expenses from your gross sales, you divide it by your gross sales, you get a percentage. That percentage is, say, for instance, for every dollar you take in, if your profit margin is 20%, then you keep 20% or 20 cents of that dollar. And so if you
That's
don't...
That's a theory.
Yeah, okay. Well, mine's actually up to 80.
Okay. I'm in the wrong business.
But if you're not maintaining your expenses and controlling your costs, that has a big impact on your profit margin. So that's one thing. Other thing is that you got to be really good at taking converting those suspects and those prospects into clients. And that means you got to ask for referrals from your best clients. You've got to start net weaving versus networking. That's mean net weaving says, who can I seek out to help, versus networking says, who can I seek out to sell? So you want to help people and be a resource for them. And then you've got to show testimonials and show people that that you have helped other people in the past. So that's one. Another thing, you got to sell. You got to see. You got to be on the front line and saying, always be closing. That's what the Alec Baldwin character said in Glengarry Glen Ross. Always be closing. So that's critical. Other things, you got to look at your numbers. You got to know that. And first and foremost, you got to be unique. You know, I'm a business coach, but there's a few business coaches out there. So I'm a profit evangelist. I'm a chief profitability officer, and I do different things, which makes me unique. So you got to be unique, because there's everybody else out there. There's probably real estate agents. There are stores on the corner. There's everybody. And so you've got to show how good you are. What makes you unique?
I used to always maintain that the job of a CEO is to help sell for the company and then get on your knees and beg for financing. But at any rate, we need to take a break. This will be our last break. We have with us Ken Brown, the profit evangelist and chief profitability officer for EC3, naturally doing very well because he was a naval officer. We'll be back
Absolutely.
Right after this.
Dr. Barry McKernan is known worldwide for expert minimally invasive surgical care. He devotes his entire practice to videoscopic surgical treatment for abdominal problems, including obesity and revision of prior gastric surgeries. Dr. McKernan's Center for Videoscopic and Laser Surgery Procedures for Obesity include lap band, gastric bypass, and laparoscopic gastric sleeve. Call the Center for Videoscopic and Laser Surgery at 770-924-8808 and mention Radio Sandy Springs for a $50 credit on your initial consultation.
If you would like to hear this program again or perhaps refer it to a friend, please visit this show's page on the website at RadioSandySprings.com. This and all our shows are posted to the website within 2 business days. We'd love for you to listen again at AM 1620 and RadioSandySprings.com.
Go unlimited with Metro PCS. Voice, text, email, and web, all unlimited, all for a flat rate of only $50 a month. Plus, add a family plan line with unlimited talk and text for as little as $20 a month. And never sign a contract. Brought to you by the unlimited company, Metro PCS. To find a store or dealer near you, call 1-888-8-METRO-8 or go online to MetroPCS.com. Metro PCS, unlimit yourself.
Thank you for listening to Radio Sandy Springs. That's Radio Sandy Springs, 1620 on your AM dial, and RadioSandySprings.com on your computer.
And welcome back to Career Call. This is Ted DeWalt, your host, and we have as our guest today Ken Brown. And Ken is the head man at EC3. Ken, if I also want to get a hold of you, because I need help with my personal financing, or I needed a financial planner, I want someone to look at our company to, as a coach, how would we get a hold of you?
Simply, there's a number of websites I have, but what I like to do is take them through my business profile, and you can reach my profile by looking by going to my network, which is www.mybusinesscommunity.com. That's mybusinesscommunity.ning.com. That's mybusinesscommunity.ning.com. Look for my picture. If you don't know what I look like, you probably don't. Click on Kenneth Brown. Click on the name, and then my profile comes up, and there you can just click on one of my websites, probably the podcast website, which has got about 40 different interviews and commentaries, and so that's a good way to reach me. But my websites are right there. Just hit my profile, look at my profile, and you can reach me there.
And the now some of the hot things that you see going on right now, where do you...
Hot things. I mean, my business is hot, so I'll talk about that. We talked about being unique, and so as a business
coach, what makes you unique?
What makes me unique is that, one is, I think you've experienced this too. I have a networking session. It's really a net weaving session on Tuesdays. It's a networking session on Tuesdays from 8 to 9. And some people say, okay, great, where do we meet? I said, we meet online. So we use technology to connect people. And typically we'll have 8, 10, 12, 15 people on the call. And in some ways, it's a little mini coaching session, but it's a way for people to connect, to share information and knowledge, information, and really help each other.
That's becoming more in vogue. I'm on a board of governors where we have people all around the world. It's for the International Association of Employment Websites. And rather than everybody fly to one city to meet, we meet on the Internet.
Yeah. I mean, you have this technology, and you were mentioning earlier, gas is expensive. You know, that's how come my profit margin is close to 80% is because, you know, I don't travel all the time to see my clients or do deals. I do it online virtually. So, but that's real good. And at the end of the session, I send a contact sheet out of all the people that participated. And then last year, we connected, we made 500 business-to-business connections. And then this year, we're up to about 160 for the past 3 months.
And in the process of providing these connections and everything, that becomes a fertile ground for you in your personal business for being
Absolutely.
A business planner.
Yeah, so when I asked them...
creative idea.
Yeah, well, so when I asked them questions like, what makes you unique? Why'd you get into business? How can we help you? And tell us something we don't know. If they're not connecting with those people on the call, that tells them maybe they can improve themselves. But that's one way. What I do as a business coach or a profit evangelist or a chief profitability officer is, number one, you got to be profitable. Number two is you got to sell. And number three is you got to use technology. It's new media stuff. What we're doing today is new media. This will be, people can download this as a podcast and listen to it later.
Mm-hmm.
So I show people in terms of technology how to be more profitable, how to be more effective, how to be more productive. That's doing podcasting. That's creating a blog. That's creating a wiki. And people don't know what a podcast is. It's an audio video file that can be downloaded from the Internet. A blog is a personal observation. It's another mini website, if you will, that you can put and share your thoughts on the Internet. There's also a wiki. And people know, what is a wiki? Well, if you've heard of Wikipedia, that is a wiki. So what I've done...
That's the wiki of wikis.
That's right. And so what I've done is I've created a wiki for passionate entrepreneurs. And so we share information and knowledge. There's videos, all kinds of educational. Matter of fact, Alec Baldwin's 10-minute confrontation with the sales team is on that wiki. So that's a classic one. It's one of my favorite ones. But I also have an online network that I've created. That's when you go to the profile. That's my online network that I created. So if you don't define your digital signature, your web presence, then the Internet's going to define it for you. So if you're not podcasting, blogging, active on online business networks, then you're going to be on the back lines. And when somebody tries to search for your company, they'll never find you because out of 20 or 50 or 60,000 entries, you're going to be on the back end and not the front end.
The one thing you didn't mention was RSS.
RSS. Oh, that's certainly – that's the reason why – the blog is really simplified syndication, which is anytime you update your blog, whoever subscribes to your blog knows it. anytime in terms of my podcast, anytime I update my podcast, somebody knows that they subscribe, they get an update. So it's very, very critical that you have a way of letting people know, connecting with them, actually, that when you've got some new content.
Well, this has been fascinating, Ken. You came out of the projects. You went in the military. The military prepared you for having a really great career, and you've really made an impact. Do you have any last things you'd like to say to our listening audience?
It's indeed an honor and a pleasure to be here, Ted. Thank you for this is like very seldom do I get interviewed. I'm always interviewing other people, but it's really fascinating to be with you. You're a great guy. I mean, your company is outstanding. I hope to be at that point someday, but I really appreciate the opportunity to connect with you and to communicate with the listeners. And I guess one thing that I do want to mention is that I am launching a barter network. So I'm always connecting people. So if anybody's interested in establishing an online barter network and being connected with my company, that's an opportunity.
And if we want to get a hold of you again to get the services of EC3, how do I do that?
You can call me at 404-957-9193. That's 404-957-9193. Or check out the website, which is www.mybusinesscommunity.ning.com. I've got over 350 ideas on being profitable and selling, and over 60 courses that I teach, and 95 quizzes, surveys, checklists, forms. If you want to be profitable, if you want to learn and be a student of business, you come to the right place.
Well, thanks for being with us, Ken. For our listeners, do stay tuned. Next week, we'll be having a VP of HR. And it should be quite interesting because it would be the ideal type of job for those types of people that like to stay at sea or stay on the rivers. This is Ted Daywalt, your host from Vet Jobs. We appreciate having you with us. Stay tuned for us next Sunday at 3 o'clock on Radio Sandy Springs.